Hello from Bear and Kura, a podcast from the Land of Oz Information Services.
I love you, Bear.
I love you too, Kura. This is episode 18 of the Bear and Kura podcast. We're going to talk about our motivations.
What was your last dream about?
My last dream was a really scary sort of nightmare. I was in a grocery store, and it was like dark, and the power was out. And Ricky from the Foul Monkeys podcast was chasing me. And he caught me, and then he said, "This is a first draft." And then he bit me on the neck and I woke up screaming.
That's hilarious. You do have pretty graphic dreams, though.
What was your last dream about?
I couldn't tell you. I generally, when I have dreams, I'll remember them when I first wake up, and then they're gone after that. I'll tell you about some of them, but then I couldn't recall them a day later. I wouldn't be able to tell you like how you just did that. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I guess it's kind of fortunate because I do have some pretty graphic dreams. They just, I guess they don't stick with me. I mean, you seem to have pretty graphic dreams. There's times where I hear you holler at night. I mean, at first it was kind of unsettling, but now I'm kind of used to it. So, you'll just bellow out in the middle of the night and I'm like, oh, he must be having another nightmare or something. So. But I couldn't recall the last dream that I had, to be honest with you.
Well, I think I have dreams every night too, and I forget them right away, but I definitely remember that one.
That's hilarious. What do you think about social media?
Well, it's okay. I had an account on Google+, which was like Facebook. But after several years, they closed it, just canceled the service and told everyone, go away. And I think that happened a couple of years ago, maybe more. I had a pretty good following on Google+, something like 2,000 followers. And then, they said, it's going away. So I moved over to Twitter, and Twitter, I get, I don't know, maybe 200 followers, follow maybe 400 people. The engagement on Twitter just isn't like what it was on Google+. The people there, I don't know, they were good people. We had good conversations. Twitter is just sort of like yelling out into the void, and maybe one or two people hear it.
Hmm.
I do not have Facebook. I have always refused to be on Facebook. And that's primarily because my mother's on there.
Hmm. Yeah, I know. I'm on Facebook. The main reason I'm on Facebook is because of my sister, and now my mom has joined it also. But it's mostly to get, see photos of my niece and nephews. I was starting with either signing up for Facebook, or she was going to send me pictures constantly through text messaging of my niece and nephews. So. It's a good way for me to keep in touch with them. And then friends back home in New Jersey. I do have a Twitter account. I'm never on it. Twitter, I don't get it. But yeah, I mean, social media is what it is. I think it could be good. I think it could be bad. I think a lot of people use it for faulty purposes. But in general, I think people use it just for good intentions. It's good to be there. But I like to refer to a lot of the people who are on social media as keyboard warriors. They'll post stuff online, but they would never say it to your face. And that kind of pisses me off. But other than that, I mean, I do enjoy it. I don't get on there. Well, you put me in check a lot of times when I get fired up about things that people post. You'll be like, do you really think you should say that? Because I'll get kind of aggressive and mad, and then I'm like, I'm just as bad as those people. So you do keep me in check on that.
I have been at it much longer than you have. I had a gay bulletin board system in the 80s. And I learned people, yes, they will say things online that they wouldn't say to your face. They just get punched in the face if they said those things.
Yeah.
And it's best to take a few breaths before you reply or delete it immediately after you send it.
Yeah.
Those kind of things.
Yeah. Well, you're good at poking the bear, though, too. I've seen some of the comments that you come back with on Twitter. And, yeah, you're not as angelic as you like to portray, so.
Mine's usually sarcasm and humor, though.
Yeah, but sometimes sarcasm can be very biting. So.
I say that sarcasm is a precious resource that too often goes wasted.
Yes. Definitely.
Yeah, I'll say something sarcastic, and then immediately people will jump in with trying to refute it, and as if what I was saying was serious.
Yeah.
Sometimes they just don't get it.
No, most people don't.
How do you feel about doing this podcast?
I enjoy it. I kind of have to get my brain right to do it, but like when I say that, I mean. If I don't feel well, I really don't want to do it. You've been there. You've seen me when I'm not feeling good. Just because some of the pain I go through doesn't make me want to talk. It doesn't want to make me feel social, I guess. But I do enjoy it. I find it to be a good release. Plus, it's something that me and you can do together. I don't care if we have anybody who listens. I think it's cool if people do. I appreciate anybody who is listening. But I, you know, it's a hobby for me and you. We're not going to change the world by any means. I think that would be completely irrational if we thought we were changing the world by doing this podcast, because it's just lighthearted and it's us being us, just kind of giving people a view, a look into our world together. So what do you think about it?
Well, I suppose a podcast is just like Twitter. It's like yelling out into the void and not knowing if anybody heard you or not.
Yeah.
I've always liked going for walks in the park. And that's a solitary activity and kind of boring, but good for you. Good for you physically and more important, good for you mentally. So in around 2004, I bought a ZView media player, an MP3 player, so I could listen to music. And I learned about podcasts, so I wrote my own aggregator program. In those days, aggregator programs didn't exist. An aggregator is a program that goes out and checks the feeds, the podcast feeds, to see what new files people have uploaded. And my program would go out to the ones that I liked, pull in those files, download them, and then, you know, at the end of the week, I would copy those files onto the SD card on that player, and I would listen to podcasts while I walked. It's listening to podcasts is something that I really like, and I've always kind of thought, well, maybe someday I'll do that. And then when I lost my job, I thought, well, I'd like to put Can Do Podcasts on my resume. So I thought through, if we had a podcast, it would be something that we could do together, and what kind of things could we do, what could we talk about, and did a lot of Google research. This podcast is all done by hand. I write all the files, I make the web pages, I do the research on the questions, make a document that we follow when we're doing the podcast. You and I record it, but I edit it and I do everything else.
Yeah, you do all the work. I just sit down and shoot the breeze.
And I know people realize that doing a podcast is not just sitting down in front of a microphone for half an hour. There is more involved. But I enjoy doing it. I suppose, you know, someday when I don't enjoy doing it, we just won't do it anymore. It's something we can do together. And I like doing the software. I like learning new things. So that's how I feel about the podcast. What was your favorite trip you've ever taken?
I've been fortunate enough to travel quite a bit, but I would have to say my trip to Ireland. I went to Ireland about a year after my father died with my mom and my sister. We went over for, I think it was like 10 days, but that was, it was enjoyable. It's just beautiful over there. I've been to Hawaii, and Hawaii's beautiful, don't get me wrong. But Ireland just was something special. And I think I enjoyed it even more because I was with my mom and my sister. It was kind of a bonding moment after my father died. So, but that was probably the best trip that I've ever been on. It was just a lot of fun, a lot of history. Got to see a lot. And the people couldn't be more wonderful. It was just an incredible, incredible trip. And I cherish the memories from it. How about you?
Well, wait, what kind of trip was it? Was it a cruise?
Or? No, it was, we went over, we flew into Shannon, we emergency landed in Shannon, and then it was a bus tour. We got on a bus, and then we went to different towns. We went to, like, Tralee, Galway. Pretty much it was all in Southern Ireland, Salvo, Killarney, just all over. And it was, we stayed in a different hotel every night. And then just we went sightseeing.
What year was that?
It was the year after my father died. It was in 2000. It was May of 2001 because 9/11 happened shortly after that. We didn't have all the flight restrictions and, we didn't have to go through, like, all the security checks and stuff like that. Customs was still a pain in the butt, but it was very enjoyable, so...
Wasn't Ireland still trying to separate from Great Britain at that time?
I believe they were separated. It's just Northern Ireland is still considered part of Great Britain, pretty much. But we didn't go to Northern Ireland. We were all in the main part of Ireland. So we weren't in Belfast. We didn't go up there. But yeah, we went to Trinity College, saw the Book of Kells. It was a lot. It was almost one of those trips when you got done, you needed a few days off just to kind of relax and get your wits about you again.
Did you kiss the Blarney Stone?
Yes, I did. And people don't realize this, but they say the locals actually go up and pee on the Blarney Stone because they know all the tourists go up there and kiss it. I don't see how that's possible considering how you have to get up there. Because it's in an old castle, obviously. And it's not easy to get to. And then...
Don't you kind of have to lay on your back?
You have to lay on your back. And it's basically on the outer wall. So there's a gap in between. You have to lay down and push yourself, like slide back and tilt your head back to do it. Because it's on the outer wall. And basically, there's that gap's there for when raiders would come to invade the castle. They would pour, like, hot oil or stuff down on the people trying to get into the castle. So there's a huge gap in between. But, yeah, everybody did it. I mean, it was a huge tourist trap. I mean, there's buses and tons of people. And you just basically, it's like ants marching. Everyone's in a line going up there. And, they wipe it down. And then someone else kisses it. They wipe it down. And someone else kisses it, so.
Even if nobody pisses on it, it still seems gross to me.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's still something you got to do while you're there, I guess. Do you have a favorite trip that you've been on?
That would be when I went to Disney World, but that was back in 1984. That was a long time ago.
I was 11.
It was great. I had one of those... You pay one price and you get the hotel and all your meals and all the entertainment that you want. That was my kind of a deal. But it was a very long time ago. Maybe they still have a deal. I don't know. I haven't followed Disney World in a long time. That's the kind of vacation that I take. kind of like going on a cruise, you know, where you get everything you want in one price. Mm-hmm. But it was Disney World.
Yeah.
At that time, Animal Kingdom didn't exist. I think it was just Disney World and Epcot.
There's no Universal Studios and...
None of that existed yet.
Yeah, we need to go down there again, considering my sister lives in Florida.
Could do that in a week anymore. They have so much.
Oh, there's so much. But, I mean, we get passes and probably... You get discounts if you live in Florida. And you get a discount to the parks if you're a resident, so...
No, I mean, you just couldn't see everything in just a week.
Oh, no.
We'd have to pick and choose what we wanted to see and kind of ignore the rest.
Yeah.
And there's also a whole lot of other things to do in Orlando that, if we went to Disney World, I don't know that we'd even have time to see.
Well, if we ever did go down there, we'd probably just have to send an email to Pot as my co-pilot and just get their gist on it and see what they say, what we should and shouldn't do. They seem to go down there quite a bit, so...
Well, and Daniel Brewer has a new podcast just in the last few weeks that's all about Disney World. He and his partner probably go every day.
Oh, wow. Is he another podcast host?
Yes.
Okay. He,
Daniel Brewer is one of the... He and Adam were the founders of Pride 48.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
They do a podcast every Friday called... Mix Minus.
Okay.
It's had different names over the years, but right now it's called Mix Minus. What's one thing that you experienced in your life that you didn't expect?
Hands down, me becoming a below the knee amputee. They warn you when you get diagnosed with diabetes at a young age that, you know, this is one of the risks is limb loss and if you don't take care of yourself. But people ask me about that quite a bit, and you know, they're like, you didn't take care of yourself. Well, no, I did. I was a Division I athlete, scholarship athlete. It does wear on your body. It's a disease that does not stop. And it wears you down and it beats your system up. And
it's okay. Go ahead.
It's a constant chore.
Diabetes is a lifelong thing. It never goes away. You have to deal with it. You're forced to deal with it every day.
Every waking moment.
You don't get any vacations. You don't get any time off.
Yeah, I've been poked and prodded more in my life than anybody should be. I mean, but it's the cards that I was dealt. So, you know, suck it up. Go on with it, I guess.
Well, the one thing that I have experienced that I never expected is that you have taught me to enjoy sports and, well, sports-like activities. Like, we go bowling, we do putt-putt. Growing up, I hated sports because I wasn't any good at it. But you've taught me to appreciate activities like that.
Oh, thank you.
I don't think I could play touch football or softball or anything like that, but, you know, low impact activities, you've taught me to appreciate. And I never, never growing up would have ever thought I would do those things.
Mm. That's good.
What are you not very good at?
A lot of things. that's a good question. That's really tough. I don't know. I guess I let my pride get in the way quite a bit. I'm stubborn to a fault. But I think, yeah, being too proud. I don't like asking for help. Then when people try to help, I push away. So, yeah, I would probably say that's probably the top of the list. I mean, to the detriment of my own self to that point. You know, you've witnessed it. You've seen how stubborn I am. But I guess that's just part of my character. That's just who I am, I guess. I try to work on it. It's a long road. I need to work on it more, obviously. But yeah, I would say that's probably one of my biggest weaknesses. How about you?
Well, I'm not very good at building things. I'm not a handy kind of person. And I'm not a car person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I could write a program that does pretty much whatever you want, but fixing a fence or putting down tile or painting the house, those kind of things, I can't do.
Okay. I didn't realize that's the road we were going down. I thought we were going down a different road. So, no, yeah, then I would agree with you 100% on that. We are not mechanical by any means. I remember, I think it was about a month and a half ago, we had a problem with the toilet. And we had to replace one piece in it. And we got this one piece, and we're like, we didn't think it would work. It was just this one little rubber piece. And I replaced it. And you came out to sit at the computer. And I came out, and I think I looked at you, and I'm like, I feel butch now.
Yes, we put a new valve in the toilet.
Yeah.
And yes, that was probably the butchest thing that we have ever done.
Yeah.
But we didn't have to pay $200 to a plumber to do it.
Yeah, to come out and replace this part in 5 minutes and then charge us $200. But yeah, we are not, I joke, I like to say that we are there to support the economy. There's people who went to school for this stuff or trade school and that are very good at it, and I will pay them to do it. So, yeah.
Well, it seems like I've said this on the podcast before, but maybe not. I'm not sure. Several years, well, like 10 years ago, my parents wanted my sister and I to come out to their house to clean out the chicken coop. Chicken coop never had chickens in it that I ever remember, but they used it for storage, and it was starting to collapse. So they needed the stuff cleaned out of it. And it was work. It was hard work. And I remember telling my parents, I taught myself how to program so I could make enough money so I wouldn't have to do this kind of stuff.
Pay people to do it for you.
Yes, I could pay somebody else to clean out the chicken coop.
That's too funny. I could see you saying that to your mother, though. I could absolutely see it, and her rolling her eyes. What makes you feel inspired or motivated?
I like learning new things, like I did making this podcast. Learning new ways of piecing data together, writing programs. I consider joining data in ways that was unexpected to be kind of like a puzzle. I don't really like playing games, but I do consider it like a puzzle. And those things motivate me. That might sound stupid to other people, but that's the kind of thing that I find fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what motivates me. What about you?
You inspire and motivate me. I mean, I have my hobbies, you know, I sketch and I draw, but it's fleeting. It comes and goes. But no, you just make me want to be a better person, so that inspires me and motivates me.
I did not expect that answer.
Well, tough. There it is. So, yeah, I guess it's short and to the point, but no, that's truly how I feel. So, what's your favorite story?
Okay, I have an old story. When I got the Lifetime Achievement Award by the local gay community, this is a story that I told. There was an old man who was walking on the seashore, just having a stroll. And as he's walking in one direction, there is a young girl who was walking in the other direction towards him. And she was picking up starfish and throwing them into the ocean. And he stopped and asked her why she did that. And she says, well, the tide is going out. And if I don't toss these starfish into the ocean, they'll dry up and they'll die. And the old man says, But there's thousands of miles of shoreline, and there's millions of starfish that will be stranded. How can what you do help? I mean, it's not going to amount to anything. The girl reaches down and she picks up another starfish, and she throws it into the ocean, and she says, "Well, it was important to this one."
It's a great story. It really is.
What's your favorite story?
Once again, I don't have anything to follow up with that. I really don't. Sorry for the short answer. I've been, you know, we go through these questions before, and you gave me this last night, and I was racking my brain all evening about something, and I could not come up with anything, so I apologize. Especially, that's hard to follow up. But
that is a hard follow.
That's a hard follow. There's no way that I could follow up with anything better than that. Who was your first celebrity crush?
Easy answer. I don't have to think about that at all. It was Tom Selleck. Mm. What was the name of the show that he did?
Magnum P.I.
Magnum P.I. Never missed it. He had his shirt off, just off enough to keep it interesting. Now, he does a police show now.
Blue Bloods.
You watch that, don't you?
I did when it first came out. I haven't watched it in the past few years.
I haven't watched it because he doesn't take his shirt off anymore.
Yeah, I can see why you don't. He's still so very attractive.
So. Yes, very. Sam Elliott also, but Sam Elliott is a little bit problematic. But who's your first celebrity crush?
Bruce Willis. I had the biggest crush on Bruce Willis. I don't know why. I just thought he was so sexy. And then I thought it was great when Color of Night came out and he showed full frontal. I was like, oh, that is awesome.
That was an underwater scene. Wasn't
yeah.
It? Yes.
Yep. So, yeah, it's a... I guess before they used prosthetics. But yeah, no, I just, for some reason, I just thought he was gorgeous. The Last Boy Scout. I don't know. Just his demeanor. He's just like a sexy machismo kind of man.
And, he doesn't take himself too seriously either.
No, he seems like a guy that would just laugh at himself. But yeah, I've liked his movies. He just wasn't completely eye candy. It helped. But
And I don't think Tom Selleck has ever done a full frontal. I would have heard about it if there was.
Yeah.
But Bruce Willis has done that in several movies.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's proud of what he has.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have anything to be ashamed of.
No.
For future generations listening to this a long time from now, is there any wisdom you'd want to pass on to them?
Just be kind. Be kind to other people. It doesn't take much effort at all. I think you have to go out of your way to not be kind. And just the way the world is today, if everyone just did it, the world would be such a better place. You know, put yourself in other people's shoes. Don't judge. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what kind of things are going on. And just, it might seem minor to you, but it could be the worst thing in that person's life. So just keep that in mind and just be kind. You know, it doesn't take anything extra to do it. Just do it. It's not hard. So how about you?
Well, first I want to say, I think the world is a little bit less kind right now. Perhaps all people, when they get to a certain age, they think that there's probably a quote from Plato somewhere that says the world is less kind than it was. So, I don't know, maybe people have thought that ever since there have been people.
Yeah.
But it really, really does seem like people are a lot more selfish now than ever before.
Yeah, I agree.
But my wisdom I would want to pass down is be your authentic self. I've said that before, but it's so true. It bears repeating. Be your authentic self. Don't take on airs. Don't pretend to be an influencer or a celebrity or a rich person or heterosexual if you're not.
Yeah.
Just be yourself. Hopefully, in future generations, a long time from now, people do that automatically and they don't need to be told to. I hope it comes to pass.
Yeah, hopefully. Okay, well, I guess it's that time already. What is your favorite joke right now?
What is the difference between an oral thermometer and a rectal thermometer?
I think I know the answer to this, but what is the difference between an oral thermometer and a rectal thermometer?
The taste.
Oh, God. All right.
That's one we like to tell every time you end up in the hospital. Huh? The nurses seem to like it a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Wrecked them, then you killed them. Well, I hope everyone enjoyed this episode. This is Kura.
And this is Bear.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to the Bear and Kura podcast, a production of the Land of Oz Information Services. We can be contacted via email using the address podcast@oz.com. And Oz is spelled A-W-E-S.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network.
Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.